Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to GRX Live. Here on GRX Live, we talk about medical marijuana. We talk politics, we talk laws, we talk cultivation. Again, let's clear up the legal stuff. This is for legal, not illegal use of medical marijuana. So if you out there listening to the show and you want to do something ignorant with the information, that's on you. So we didn't pay that bill. We're going to move right into things. So let's talk politics. We're down to two candidates. And what are the two best candidates for what we're trying to get into? My obvious choice is Hillary. And it may not be that obvious, but my obvious choice is Hillary. I think she's a little bit more lenient than what Donald may be. I'm not quite sure, but we'll figure that out as we go. I'm also here with my longtime friend, producer, cultivator, DJ Monk.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm after the last tragedy in Orlando, I'm not sure if Donald Trump is any different or better for medical marijuana than Hillary, largely because he signaled that he's trying to have a meeting with the NRA to address the obvious, and he's on the side of Hillary Clinton. So, you know, I see with this guy certain populist issues, popular, you know, Americana issues, guns, weed, he seems to align himself with the populace.
He's trying to win. So that's the obvious thing. So whatever popular or whatever out there, I think that he's going to attract to it. But then still, we have to worry about once he's in office, what is his real motives? And we're not sure. What I've come to find out is that the reason why the laws haven't changed here in California to decriminalize or to move the laws forward is because there's no real way to separate medical marijuana from recreational use. And then they're concerned with the DUI aspect of it. There's no way for the police force to say, well, he was under the influence. And by the way, people, if you're out there and you ever do get stopped by the police and you do have your paperwork with you, the word that you must use is, I am not impaired. If you don't use that word, 9 times out of 10, you will go to jail for a DUI. That is what I've learned in the last couple of weeks. So we have to be prepared about those kind of things.
Say it again, please.
Again, if you get stopped by the police and say you're under the slight influence of medical marijuana, you have to say that you're not impaired, that you can still physically drive the car, because there is no one test that they have in process that can rate whether or not you're under the influence. So if they figure that you smell something, all you have to do is say, I am not impaired.
So, because if you do get a DUI, they do run a urine or a blood test, and marijuana can show up
for 30 days.
In either or, actually for 6 months, marijuana can show up. And if they pluck your hair, it's going to be there. Okay?
Yeah, if it's in your hair, that's there for 6 months.
But if they run the normal battery test, if you get pulled over, wouldn't that reflect there was marijuana in your system? I just don't think it shows that those sides. I don't think we've gotten to that type of test sophistication. I don't know, have we?
We have not yet, and that's one reason why it hasn't passed in California. They feel that from the last reports that I've read that in Colorado, Washington, Arizona, that the DUI levels have increased. But they didn't say whether or not it was due to alcohol use or to the marijuana use, but they're still saying that the DUI levels have risen, crime has risen just a bit, and so they're not sure. And so California is looking at that saying, well, I don't know.
Well,
and because we're so much larger than those states, we like, I don't know. And so that was been the drawback for a lot of the senators jumping in to save the state is because we don't know what the total outcome is, and we have no way of real way of testing. So if they pull you out of the car and you've been chiefing a little bit and you do the balance test, okay, you can't blow positive, but if they still say that you're impaired and you told them you're not impaired, now they're going to do a blood test. Well, if you do a blood test or a saliva test, it's in your system. Whether you smoked that day or 10 days ago, it's still in your system. So it's hard for them to test that and to challenge that. And so
yeah.
If you find you a good lawyer, most of the time you will walk away from it.
Well, that's been
one of the major problems that they're contending with or dealing with, and reason why they haven't passed it 100%. All the senators got on board yet with making it recreational.
Well, you're not going to get 100% participation from Congress or the Senate, but one of the problems with states that went full legalization and states that traditionally weren't pro-marijuana, you know, whether it was medical or not, you know, California has always been seen as the hippie camp of the world. But at the end of the day, as soon as these laws start passing, you had law enforcement targeting people. And so that's going to increase your statistics for crime because they are actually targeting people leaving clubs, and people are so foolish that they smoke in their car, they have to smell on them, but they don't comply with the law to wait to get home. Did you know that here in Los Angeles, you're not even supposed to open the package? They're supposed to seal it, okay, and you're not supposed to open it until you get home.
Well, there's an unwritten law about the staple. When you get a package from the dispensary, and we need to explain what a dispensary is, a dispensary is really a co-op, people. Don't get it confused or bewildered by the title. That's just like sort of like a ghetto name. It's really a co-op. So when you go to sign up for the dispensary, you're really signing up for a co-op. And the more people they pull in, the more legal marijuana that they can have at their facility for their members. So we have to be, I mean, again, we're doing semantics on the terms and the definitions, but it's really a legal co-op, not a dispensary.
That's important that the definitions be defined. A lot of people think that everywhere you see with a green plus is just like a weed liquor store, which is
and
not.
That's not true. You have to sign in. You have to have a certain – if you read the paperwork and not just sign it, you understand that you're part of a collective and that either you're going to pay for your marijuana or donate for – you don't pay for anything. You donate to get your supplies. So it's not even a cash and carry kind of situation. That's why every dispensary, quote-unquote co-op, deals with donations and not sales. Because if you sell it, it's still federal and it's illegal.
Yeah, and I don't know of well, normally in the Bay Area, you'll see people testing and challenging by if the cap is $25 or $30, they're going to come in $5, $10 short just to see if they're going to bite for the donation. And 9 out of 10 times they're not. They're going to throw you out. And so you have to be careful. We all know that there's word semantics, and although you are purchasing marijuana, it is legally termed a donation. And so trying to get over a gram here or a gram there, it becomes silly at this point because the prices are so low anyway right now for top shelf. It's ridiculous. I mean,
Yeah, it's really ridiculous when you think about it. But, again, that's the mentality of the neighborhood in the streets. So we're trying to get something for nothing. We need to get out of that situation and move this into a more of a legal law system so that we don't lose it all together. And that's the possibility behind these laws. If we don't get it together, we could lose it all together.
Yeah, yeah, that is certainly a possibility because you see this all around the nation now with regressive laws, a lot of them being actually implemented by Democrats, whether it's a rollback on the age for smoking. I thought that had more to do with from 21 to 18. I think that had more to do with legalization of marijuana than anything. Furthermore, there is some misnotions in terms of what certain segments of the population are doing or how they are getting marijuana or what it's about for that. So, for instance, youth population 18 to 35, you know, it may be still all about the recreation, and then you go and find an issue to get you a medical permit. So knowing this and having studied it academically, I would suggest that a lot of people go slow with regard to trying to jury-rig or beat or get over on the current system. Just work within it. And if you don't have a true medical diagnosis, you probably don't want to get yourself caught up. And I would suggest you just keep doing what you was doing, or you need to figure out how you can get a medical diagnosis.
Well, again, we talked on our last show week before last. I'm sorry, people, I missed a week. I had a death in the family. We talked about whether the prescription was legal or not versus the card from the health department. Again, the card from the health department is like the Holy Grail. It stops the police from taking your goods. It supersedes the recommendation, period.
But I had a dispensary who would not recognize the county offer issued card.
Well, that's because they don't know the laws themselves. And so you need to be careful of dispensaries like that because they're probably not following all the laws and they're probably not going to be there that long.
Well, they got raided because of the wax and they are now out of business. But I think my issue is essentially that you have a lot of people running these shops that don't have their best foot forward with regard to providing medical services. Now, when you just focus on you're providing a medical service, you're not slinging dope, yo.
Yeah, right. And see, in a lot of these, the smaller dispensaries are slinging dope, so to speak. And so you got to be careful with that. And again, it's a your prescription is just a recommendation. It stops right there. It's just recommended that you use it. It doesn't say that you're qualified to use it. So when you go get your state card from the health department, you are qualified to use it, that you have a need to use it. So I say again, follow the whole process, and we'll go through that process maybe on the next show about how to find the right way to get your card and do the things that you need to do to pull to be totally legal in the system.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't want to be in the system because I don't want the big government in my back. Well, he's already on your back. So you got a gorilla on your back, you know, so you already need to do what they asked you to do correctly so that you don't get caught up.
I go to a dispensary here, Bob, I'm not going to say where, and every time you go in, they will not take your little plastic ID card that I got with my face on it. They only take the paper recommendation, which is both. So every time you go in, they go, are you new or returning? which means to me, and then he's, you give him your information, your license and your prescription, and then, which means to me, they're not actually keeping records, or what they are tracking is just your come in and go.
And that's all they're really tracking. And before dispensaries populated through all through California and all through L.A. County, you had dispensaries that was, one, tracking you, and two, making sure that your paperwork matched to who you say you were and all of that. And so now we're getting into these lot of mom-and-pop joints popping up everywhere, and so that is one of the reasons why with these new change of laws that's coming up soon, that a lot of things are going to change. You're going to see a lot of dispensaries disappear because they're not in compliance.
But there is an online official database that anybody can go pull up. So technically, if you didn't have your paperwork, they could technically take your license and pull you up in the database. It says it. On a lot of the advertising, we are 24/7 compliant online.
But the problem with that is that you have so many different databases. And so just because your recommendation says, oh, call this 24/7 to get your recommendation and verification may not match what mine says, or it may not with another person's out there. So that's one of the other problems that we're dealing with. It's not all on the same database. We don't call the same 1-800 number, so to speak, to get that information. You got how many recommendations out there, is you may have that many 1-800 spots to call. So that's one of the problems. And so if you don't go to the health department and get into the real system, we're still dealing with that. And that's another one of the major reasons why it hasn't passed here in California. They're trying to get everything on one database so that it's easy to access and anybody can access it versus, well, Joe Blow got his recommendation from Dr. Lucky Butt over here, and I got mine from Susie Adams over here, and they're not on the same database. So what can we do about that? They're trying to put it all on the same database, and eventually what's going to happen is that it has to go through the health department to get your prescription. That's just what's going to happen. And, again, I tell everybody this. If you are getting your prescription from a doctor, make sure that doctor will go to court for you if need be, because a lot of times you're getting these prescriptions for $25, $30, and it's just the doctor signing some papers. But if the action ever goes down that you need to go to court and you need to verify the amount of herb that you're smoking or the herb that you had on you at the time, they're not going to go for you. So you need to find a doctor that is legit enough that will go and stand in court for you if need be.
Well, I don't know if the one we go to will go to court for you, but they will release your record.
As long as they release your information to the court, you're fine. But a lot of these mom-and-pop joints that where you go stand in line and you really don't see a doctor and they just check off some stuff on a thing and hand you your prescription, he don't have no records on you, really. You see what I'm saying? So now you're still stuck in this system by yourself. At least with the doctors that we're using, at least they will release your records with your ailments and say, hey, we said, yeah, he was recommended for this amount for this because he smokes this much and blah, 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 blah. He may not go to court, but the files that he have will go to court.
Yeah.
And that's why, like the doctors that we've talked to, tell us to go and take your paperwork immediately to the health and county.
Yeah, in fact, it was our doctor that told me about that program. And then when I went down there and signed up, I asked the county worker, why don't anyone know about this program? She said, we are not legally allowed to speak or advertise the program. I said, isn't that a detriment to the populace? Because you're getting people caught up with the law. When in fact you should, what? You should have this program, right?
Yeah, but again, the only way that program's going to get out is us talking about it. That's just what we know.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're learning. We're learning as we go. I mean, the thing is, you know, I've been in this game since 96, and it has changed, and I've been in the first dispensaries in California. I was in them, and the one that fought them, all the fights, the one on Market Street and the one in Oakland, the main one in downtown Oakland. And, you know, everything has changed so much and so inconsistently that you do need a refresher, and you do need to, you know, we need to do what exactly we're doing, which is...
you need to stay up on the laws as much as possible. You know what I'm saying? And the little slightest changes could mean your detriment, you know?
Yeah. What I'm really
saying, and cross your T's, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you forgot to cross T. Well, guess what? You're going to serve time because you didn't cross your T. So
what I'm really saying is that even for you and I are probably two of the most up-on-it guys in the medical marijuana industry. But things happen overnight. And you remember, like, last year I had to update you on the chain, and you didn't know about it at the time. And, you know, and then somebody else updated me on something, and I didn't know about it at the time. And so it's almost like you really do need to be up-date with regard to this. And I don't know if they have it yet, but they need to put a political chart out, just like the NRA does. This senator is pro-gun. This senator is not pro-gun. This senator is pro-medical marijuana. This senator is pro-medical marijuana and legalization totally. This senator is only for medical marijuana. This senator or congresswoman is only for legalization and does not see the value in medical marijuana. We need to have a chart like that. I don't know if they have it, but it also...
I'm not sure if they have it or not, but that's something that I guess we can look into to find out, you know, and see what we can pull up to at least. Either they have it or they don't, and we could talk about it, why they don't.
Yeah, I'll try to research that for the next show, and then you worry about the things on your plate. And let's take a quick break, GRX, and catch our breath. How about that there?
We'll do that.
GRX, this song is perfect for the topic because it actually breaks down trafficking. And the title of this song, this was the album I was looking for. This was put out in the 90s. I worked this record, Big Blood, off Tommy Boy. And the name of this one song by Carlton Livingston is A Hundred Weight of Cali Weed Coming from Central. And then... And he was just going into, okay, you got pulled over and this, that, and other, and you're about to go to jail. And the song just goes deeply into it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's happening in the city today, you know. Again, we're dealing with semantics, we're dealing with words, and we're dealing with how to get out of the system or get out of the situations that you're getting into. And like I said, a lot of people don't understand that these definitions mean a whole lot, and we have to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. I am of the nature that you need to be knowledgeable. It's so odd that how many people who enjoy marijuana but have no knowledge of its roots and its starting. Even the Orlando shooting came up in a conversation this week about weed. medical marijuana here in California. I was talking to a young brother, and he was asking me about marijuana, medical marijuana, and this particular dispensary overall near Dinker, that you and I actually talked about. He said, well, you know, you have to be careful. Tax may not be legitimate, and as far as I'm concerned, growing is your best option once you have your card. And if you got your card, obviously he does, that's your best option, in my opinion, rather than breaking yourself constantly, spending 25 here, 35 there.
Because it can add up. It can definitely add up when you take in 25 a hit. You know, even if you did 25 a week, you out $100.
Yeah, $100 a month. That will add up, and then you need all the accoutrements with it. If you're not just using a bong or a pipe, you gotta have to roll it up somehow. But this guy was surprised when I said, "Well, look." You know, my brain, I was just something that happened. I said, well, you know, my focus was on what was going on in Orlando and this, that, and the other. And he had, like, a little attitude about homosexual, a little homophobia came out of him. And I said, well, hold on, bro. I said, nah, that ain't my issue. But I'm going to tell you this. You wouldn't have medical marijuana if it had not been for the gay community, period, in the discussion.
Period. Period.
I was there. I said I met some of the big bosses in it, like Dennis Perrone. And these cats were serious, as well as I was a claims adjuster and dealing with other issues and a health underwriter. And I remember that these cats were dying of AIDS, and the only thing that they could do to eat was
smoke
marijuana. Exactly. And so
whether it was edible or whether however they interdested it, they needed it for them to survive and to maintain, period.
Created the appetite. And I said, well, dude, it's funny how everything is playing out in the media. I said, but I remember going to the cannabis club on Market Street in San Francisco, and you would have a lot of the barristers, the people serving the herb were white guys, big old white guys with beards and tattoos and stilettos and dresses and fully transgender. Hi, may I help you? And, you know, I'd be like, man, yeah, bro. I need to get that right there. I need this and that. And he's looking at me like, I said, yeah, this was every time you went in there, and this is just how it is. And you couldn't come in with an attitude. I said, in fact, I would actually put a little wink on it if I could get an extra grand.
and that's just is what it is on that one too. You know, it's like they don't understand. And hopefully by doing this show people can get some understanding and involvement into it. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. That's all I can really say. We'll see.
Yeah, that's all we really can say. We will see. If everybody catches up to the reality of this movement and the reality of everything's connected now, GRX, from your gun debate to your weed debate. They carry AR-15s at some of these dispensaries. I went into one, and Cat was sitting there with his AR. I didn't go over there and check all the writing to make sure it was an AR and not something else. But it was a long gun. And so
not the long gun.
Oh, yeah, it was a long gun. So,
Well, people, on our next show, we will get into more of the cultivation and not so much the politics and the laws, and we'll try to talk about the difference between hydroponics and geoponics. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand what geoponics is. Geoponics is anything that's in soil, hydrodin, rock wool, or an aggregate of some sort. And hydroponics only deals with water. And like I said, I've done many of these different systems, and we could talk about it and get into what we've seen thus far this year in the growth cycle. Like I said, my man is a little, my man Marty is a little bit further ahead in his cycle because he laid his down before me, but the strange weather is being the strange weather.
Yeah, I'm already at probably 40% harvest, but I have some strange things happening outside. Let me get you quickly as we end this show. I went to go get some root tone, and they didn't have that. They didn't sell that. So I did buy, what is that? I don't know, is it B12? Or B1, which you can use for rooting. But do you know another root tone type situation?
Most places are carrying like Clonex. It's a gel that you can dip yourself into. I say the gel works better in the hydro system than it does in dirt, but you know, a lot of people put it in rock wool and be able to get their plants to go. Like I said, I've tried this new system, well, new solution called willow water. It's free. Any tree that's a willow, take the little stems and branches, boil it for about 15 minutes, let it cool itself off, strain the sticks and stems out of it, put it in the refrigerator, and then when you're getting ready to take your cuttings, let your cuttings sit in it for 2 days, and then drop it into whatever system you got, and you'll come out with 100% roots like I did.
Okay, that's good to know, GRX. We are out. We've run out of time.
All right, people, the next time.
All right, I'll holler at you.
All right. I'm gone.